We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Really bad stretch, strong ending. You're gonna be in the spot of which is on the bubble, which is not a place to be. And it's been 2 years in a row. I think it's come down to waiting the night before the season for another team to win to give you a chance on the final day. It's not desirable, and it's not conducive with the end goal, which is to reposition the way that we go about it, replenish the prospects of the team and the draft cap of the team, and then start to build towards being a contending team that everyone in this room and in this city expects and has gotten used to. That's really the only goal for me here. And I knew that coming in, this was all going to be part of it. It's just a matter of how quickly can we get it there.
Happy Friday, everyone. Malzy sitting across from me. Little Austin Bechtold is in for Donnie, who was sending us pictures from Nashville today, but he wasn't at a honky-tonk or anything like that yet. He was just driving by
the
Titan
Stadium. Yeah, that's very on-brand for the football guy. Hey, here's a charmless stadium where they play with the worst uniforms in football.
Stadium, have you been there?
No, I've not, actually. I've only driven around Nashville. I've never been to.
Little Austin, you ever been to a game there, Titan Stadium?
No, never have.
It is a lot like the Steelers Stadium. It's a lot like Acrisure.
Charmless.
Well, I'm just, okay, I'm just saying, like, in terms of the actual design of it, like, the top of the stadium has, like, those, you know, those, like, bright yellow beams.
Yes. They've got, like, the red beams, don't they?
Yes. So it's the same thing. And they're trying to replace that stadium. What are we doing with ours?
Apparently, the public will probably end up paying for several $100 million.
What is David Morehouse doing behind the scenes?
Man, I think we should
twiddling
probably
his thumbs like Mr. Burns, going, hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should probably move on from this topic if you're going to bring his name up, because I tend to have a bad habit of saying things about him that tend to stick.
I actually have very good personal experience with Mr. Morehouse.
No, I'm aware. I mean, I don't have any personal experiences with him, but I suspect if I did, they'd be negative.
There was a lot of bloviating from Dubas. Bloviating galore.
He likes to be expansive with his answers.
37 minutes.
How many questions in 37 minutes? About like 12 or 13?
I didn't hear any repeats.
So he's asking.
Actually, maybe one person got two questions, and it was Seth Rohrabaugh, but everyone else only got one.
Empty netters.
Including Jeff got one.
Kyle does the thing we've talked about many times. He'll like address the reporters by name. He's very good at buttering you up. Ooh, I like that question.
Didn't use Jeff's name. I was disappointed by that.
Jeff's a news hound? And Jeff's a crusty old news hound?
Jeff in the doghouse?
Yeah, does that mean if you don't get your name used at the start that you've somehow
text
run
Jeff.
A foul?
Say Jeff.
I think he's out in the newsroom right
now.
Oh,
well,
I'll ask him in the first break.
Austin,
ask him.
Can even run him down and ask him at one point how he felt about
the way Dubas handled his question?
No, Dubas.
He loves to talk expansively, man. He is a guy. I'll start this little dance here. He's a guy who can win the press conference, who can win those situations like he had earlier today, because he I'm sure is very sincere. I'm not here to cast aspersions on the sincerity or the level of belief, whatever. But Kyle Dubas understands how to just oratory in general. How to speak passionately and with conviction about what he wants to do, and occasionally to be frank and honest when to do otherwise would be almost offensive to anybody listening or watching or doing whatever, Pony.
Mm-hmm.
But the danger with guys like that is when they're really good at it, they can get away, and some people would argue it's what you and I do for a living at times. You can filibuster and sound really passionate and really engaged and say very little of substance about what your plans actually are.
That's the word salad. That's the
But, I mean, I think he's better at it. No offense. I think he's better at it. Ben Cherington, you'll occasionally get, like, some clues maybe with Cherington. But I think Kyle is better at doing that than Ben was or is or Neil Huntington ever was. Like, Kyle puts a little bit of a spice to it.
Well, he did say something significant in the clip that we played. The objective has changed. The goalposts have been moved. Fans, many Penguins fans here have felt for a long time that this group or this core cannot win a Stanley Cup anymore. That the window has passed, that the door has been slammed shut. And when Dubas came in here, he acknowledged that there were a couple of different things he wanted to accomplish, but his actions were Stanley Cup oriented. They traded for Erik Karlsson. Mm-hmm. Their moves last year for this season were to try to make the missed playoffs thing a blip on the radar, outlier.
We're not just trying to make the playoffs. So, we're going to get guys in here who help us go very deep into the playoffs.
So there's an answer from him on how this season went, followed up with the goal being, the only goal, he said, to reposition, replenish with prospects and draft capital. You've got Sidney Crosby still, maybe not at his apex, but height of his powers. You still have a very good Sidney Crosby. The GM, in no uncertain terms, said, I'm not going to call it a rebuild, but I'm going to say that 2024-2025 is about some bigger picture. It's about some long game. I got a long-term deal. I'm not a short-timer. I'm not an interloper. I've got a lot of job security. And this season, even though we finished strong, it effed me up so bad that I started my tenure by saying I would bet on Mike Sullivan and Sidney Crosby. I'd never count them out. To today, flip-flopping to, it's about repositioning, replenishing. That's like, you want to talk about like euphemisms and things. Those are like words that the Pirates would come up with 3 or 4 years ago to like, steer away from saying rebuild, but also let you know, like, hey, we get it. We're not going to BS you. We know that we can't win the World Series right now.
There's a very famous example. I don't remember which politician it was asked about something and was introducing a new tax and said it's a wage-based premium, something like that. And I was like, okay, it reminds me of that. I mean, do you take
read my lips, no rebuilding.
Right. Do you take on some level, if the goal is to always be relevant and to never go through another dip where like no one's going to that place because it's like a scorched earth rebuild, do you take some solace in the fact then that he seems to understand that despite the strong finish, the way that they are currently constructed is not sustainable and nor is it a particularly accurate thing to keep chasing that down in the hopes that it'll all break your way? Like, let me put it this way. I'd rather hear this from him after year one on the job, actually watching the team play, then after next year, you know what I mean? After, two more years on the job. He sounds pissed and he's pissed below the surface and he probably should be.
Yeah.
Right? Is that a fair way to summarize it? I hope you and I aren't talking across purposes here because I think we have the same basic opinion on what he said today.
Which is, what's your thesis point again?
I mean, that he understands that you can't do it this way again, no matter how anchored he is to certain things, like publicly.
Right.
He understands that beneath the surface, behind closed doors, it has to be different.
And I think it's unrealistic to think that if you have Sidney Crosby anchoring a top line, you're going to be that bad where you do become one of the worst teams in the NHL. This reminds me a little bit of, I've shared this story with you on the air, of when we got a free vacation, but the whole thing was we had to get the pitch for the timeshare.
Yeah.
And I just knew that the timeshare sounded too good to be true. And they made it sound spectacular. They made it sound amazing. They made it sound like, why would you just want to stay in one hotel room when you can have this amazing palatial thing and you can get it in so many different places? And I went in saying, whatever you do, do not say yes. Mm-hmm. And Amanda got hoodwinked by it and
she
wanted me to take
say
it.
Yes.
And I said, no, we're not doing it. And the lady on the way out tapped me on the shoulder and said, congratulations, you just made the worst decision of your entire life.
What did you want to say back to her in that moment?
F you.
Did you?
No, I didn't.
I think you should have. What happens if she just gets a robust F you right back?
So here's what I'm sharing that because it segues into how I feel about Dubas. Repositioning and replenishing with prospects and draft capital. Music to the ears of many Penguins fans. But how do you go about doing it? He admitted today that it's not going to be, quote, scorched earth, where you turn into one of the worst teams and you're picking, like the Pirates have for years, at the top of the draft and getting great young players through the draft.
He used a specific word instead. He used pivot.
Pivot, okay. But how do you actually do that? You've got so many guys on no movement clauses. It sounds like you don't want to be bad, but it also sounds like you know you can't be great. So he is really stuck in this limbo. He has a plan that he's trying to execute, but I don't even... If I were his bosses, if I were Fenway Sports Group, I'd be like, Kyle, thank you for putting so much time in this presentation. You tell me what you want to do. Can you now get into the details of how you actually plan on executing it?
Can I offer devil's advocate then? If we all agree that the power play was a massive issue for them and in the source of much of their frustration and inability to be the team they wanted to be, if he believes he's going to get better from Carlson next year, maybe better from certain players, wouldn't he then believe he's going to fix the power play and that'll take care of a lot of this and he'll be able to have his cake and eat it too? If our power play is 15th in the league, we're going to be a playoff team if the 5-on-5 is even close to what it was this year. I think Erik Karlsson, I'm Kyle Dubas, I think he'll be a better player than he was. Boom, we're there. We'll add in some younger guys, we'll get faster and younger in the bottom six especially, and our power play will be better. We will make the playoffs.
All right, but again, these two things might be at odds with each other. What is his, quote, only goal? It sounds like it's to get younger. It's not to win.
Yeah, but I think he feels like he can do both.
That's great. That's not exactly chewing your gum and walking the dog at the same time.
But I do think there's a pathway. If you have to make two leaps here, that you can stay as good as you were at 5-on-5 next year.
Right.
And that your power play will jump from 31st or whatever to 15th.
You know you've done this before, and I'm not saying this to criticize you.
No, criticize away.
We've had these postseason discussions and you after season discussions, and you said, I think last year, hey, actually, if you just fix the goaltending, you got a pretty good team
well,
here.
Well, I'm gonna make a promise to you right now. I'm gonna make a promise. I don't care how good their offseason looks or how much, you know, Sean Gentile or any other national or local analyst says they've fixed this and gotten this right, I'm going to make a prediction right now. They'll miss the playoffs again next year. I don't care. I don't care what happens.
Kyle Dubas sounds like he would be fine with that as long as they've repositioned and replenished with prospects
and
draft capital.
You know what it actually sounded like? It sounded like the head of a corporation that's gone through some very hard times saying, we're going to come out of this on the other end of things, much better equipped, more mobile, light on our feet to handle a changing economic landscape.
When the Penguins called Chris Muller several times to try to get you to re-up your season tickets, was the sales pitch, Chris, hi, it's Steve from the Penguins. How do you feel about repositioning and replenishing prospects and draft capital? Because, baby, we got that coming your way in spades.
Do you want to reposition your seats next year? Because we're going to be repositioning.
Sorry you missed out on Yager bobblehead. But
how about you pivot to the lower level, pal?
Austin, can I interest you in repositioning and replenishing prospects and draft capital?
No. Okay.
Do you do then? I mean, that's maybe the question we can tackle. What do you do if you're in his shoes?
Right.
What is the right direction?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
When this team started contending, LA wasn't contending yet. Then they won twice, then they missed the playoffs and acquired some high picks, and now they're a contender again. The Rangers were contending when the Penguins were contending. The Rangers went through their own pivot, and now they just won the President's Trophy. When people say they want to rebuild, they want, what they really mean by that is a full-on scorched earth, try to project who the number one pick is going to be in 2025, 26, 27, 28, say, yeah, it's going to work out, we're going to get them all, and then we're going to be great again. My view of it is that there are more examples of late of teams that contended when this team was contending that have pivoted in short order to acquiring, to replenishing their younger group of assets.
That is Kyle Dubas on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. So when is he going to turn up on Ryan Clark's podcast then?
The pivot.
How many times can he say pivot there?
I think of two things when I hear somebody say pivot. One, because my wife is the biggest fan of the show Friends of all time, the episode where they're just yelling, pivot, trying to get a couch up the steps. Austin apparently watches Friends. I wouldn't tell too many people that, Austin.
It's a good show.
Jennifer Aniston guy or Courtney Cox?
Jennifer Aniston.
I don't think that there should be. Courtney Cox might be in third place behind Lisa Kudrow.
Wow.
Go for a little quirky Lisa Kudrow. Aniston, obviously, on the gold medal stand there.
I like Cox, but that's okay. Well, don't keep that. Please don't cut that
224.55. How about Adam Duritz from the Counting Crows dated them both?
What?
Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston.
Has he ever been interviewed on his relationship and which one he liked more?
Wouldn't you like to hear Howard Stern do that? Adam, he would just dive right in and ask absurd questions. No, I hear that. I think of Friends, obviously, the show Friends. And then I think of like the disastrous pivot to video movement that every sports website said they were going to do because Facebook lied about numbers years ago. So that makes me laugh. Here is what I actually think about what he said, though, Pony. He is right, I think, in kind of projecting that when fans think of a rebuild, they do think we're going to get this guy, and this guy, right? We're going to get four generational level players in a row or something like that.
Because that's how this team became a Stanley Cup champion with Malkin and Sid and
Marc-Andre
Fleury and Jordan Staal.
But I think he means generally that's how most fan bases view it. But like this is the one fan base that actually go every time they actually have to do it, it happens. Oh, you need here's Mario Lemieux. Here's an 18-year-old kid who's going to be the best player since Wayne Gretzky. And then the next pick in the draft is Kirk Muller. Nice hockey player, but not Mario Lemieux. They find Vinny Tremblay and they say, hey, you suck at playing goal. Go out there and give up six. And he did. Sidney Crosby, lottery ball bounces their way. Coming out of the lockout, they have a guy who has over-delivered on insane hype. So that's why people here are going to be geared to think, is there another kid that's of that ilk or Connor Bedard's ilk? We better get him.
This is why Doogie Howser, GM, is here, because he's supposedly so smart. This ain't easy. You're trying to describe a have your cake and eat it too situation. Good luck to you pulling it off. I mean, what he's really saying is this is how I read it. We've got maybe a handful of players that we really like, and let's try to spin everybody else who isn't like under 30 into picks and prospects. So who are the guys we love? Sid, Malkin,
Letang,
and Carlson.
He sounds like he loves Carl. Yeah.
And Rust.
Right.
So there's your five. And everybody else who isn't in his 20s is available. Raquel.
Riley Smith. No, he's in his... I was going to say, yeah.
Riley Smith, Ryan Graves now. I mean, Tristan Jarry's getting close to 30. I mean, everybody else is available. But it's just, this is how he envisions, he went on to further explain it. This is how he envisions that, quote, pivot happening.
I think the easy answer is to sit up here, and I think when you're in these spots and say, okay, we're just going to rip it all the way down, and, you know, it's going to require patience, it's going to be painful. If that's the right course, there are organizations that have done that well. I think here with our group that we have, it would be foolish not to try to get those younger players in and around those players like Sid, like Chris Letang, like Brian Rust, people who come in every single day and operate at an extremely high level and get the most out of themselves. So that's the way I view it. But
I know why you're making that face, and I made a phone call to check on it, and I got an answer. He didn't name Malkin, which I thought was interesting when I first heard that. You're trying to get these players around three guys. You named Sid, you named Letang, and you skipped over
a core guy who didn't mention Malkin. Who next to Crosby, I think, was your best player down the stretch.
So what do you think I did right away after I heard that? I called Rossi.
And? He said, I can't come on with you today. I've got, you know, an
ingrown toenail.
I already
went out with the morning show.
Oh, okay.
And I said he didn't mention Malkin. And he thought that was just filibuster Dubas. Got on his Dickie Betts Ramblin' Man,
R.I.P.
run there, and just forgot to mention him. He doesn't think there's anything more to read into it. But if something does happen with Malkin this offseason, I will, of course, reference back to this and bring it up to Rob and say you were wrong.
And that'll help us get Rob back on.
Oh, yeah. More with Dubas, including what he said about Sid's future and the goalies. Couple updates. Number one, Paul Skeens, when?
That's your cue, Austin.
5:05.
5:05 for Skeens.
Absolute Skeens.
So he will have...
He'll have had time to...
recuperate from the McAfee interview and the very, very, very difficult 3 1/3 innings that he had to pitch through last night. Very difficult. Very laborious.
I actually have a real question based off of that for him, and I think it's one of the few that he might be willing to be expansive about, because he is... McAfee and those guys, I'll say this nicely...
They were working.
They were working, and they like to play grab ass and have fun. And generally, anyone that goes on Pat's show, part of the beauty of what Pat gets out of these guys is they're primed, right? Like when you go on Stern, you're primed to just say, everybody talks to Howard. I'm probably going to say stuff. They're primed.
Second
to
Stern reference from you.
I know.
Today.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Somebody like tweeted about him or something, and I've flashed back to that. Anyway, you go on McAfee's show, there's this expectation it's going to be fun, it's going to be loopy, and that people tend to live up to that. Paul Skeens. He had his game plan for this interview, man, and he did not deviate. He just kept pumping 100 miles an hour over and over every question.
You know, I think he would be the first to tell you he wanted to be better and has to be better. And I think that's one of the best things about athletics is that Tristan has massive potential. Both goalies, for most of the year, our goaltending was right near the top of the league in tandem. What I'm most excited about for Tristan is that every player that gets in these spots at these points in their career can be a real inflection point, and he has to make the decision of how he wants to respond next year. There's obviously doubt. There's questions. And I don't think that's necessarily just because of his play. It's because of the fact that at this point in the year, Ned, when he got sick, Ned stepped in and ran with it. I'm excited to see how Tristan responds, because that's what this is really all about, how guys like that are able to push back when things don't go their way.
Kyle Dubas coming clean in great detail. On Tristan Jarry, brought to you by WetGo. Go Unlimited. Visit getgocafe.com/unlimited for more details.
You know, I hear something like that, Pony. I don't know if you have the same reaction, but I'm always like, that is not a great situation when the best thing you can say about a guy is, well, in nice terms, he kind of stunk, and this is what makes sports great. Now we find out what he's made of. Because the finding out what he's made of always follows a comment about why the guy wasn't good.
Kyle Dubas saying there, Tristan Jarry would be the first to tell you that he didn't have
If Craig Riley was asked about me after, like, we had, I don't know, a year's worth of ratings, and he said, Chris would be the first to tell you he didn't do a very good job, and now we see how he responds in a contract year, I would not feel good about myself.
Well, let's ask Tristan how he feels about the way he played.
How would you assess individually just how your year went, how you played?
Honestly, I thought it was pretty good there.
I have no reason to think he's like some bad guy or anything, but, and I know goalies are mentally built very different, and a lot of those guys, they're unusual on teams. Like, they're the unique personality. That's why I think, was it Roberto Luongo is like one of the only goalies ever to be named a captain of a team. You know, like they're not a guy who's leading the team. That answer there, oh, I don't know, I thought it was pretty good. What? Buddy, you sucked and lost your job.
Your own GM said there's doubts and questions about you.
You've got to come back from basically what he said without saying it is, you had a bad year and you've got to show you can bounce
Instead,
back.
Instead, Tristan Jarry sounds like the dog with the coffee mug who's in the burning house.
This is fine. I had a good year. Somebody should Photoshop. Caleb, I know you're listening. Give me Jarry's head on the dog in the flaming room with, I had a good year.
Yeah.
I had a pretty good year. This is fine.
All right, so... I mean, that's not even a tepid endorsement of Jarry. He sounds like a GM who's resigned to the fact that he's stuck with him.
He has buyer's remorse in a big way.
Okay,
big way.
So how does he feel about bringing Ned back, the goalie that did get all the starts at the end of the year?
He's an unrestricted free agent. I think he's been very vocal about his views. We have a situation where we have a young goaltender that's also pushing in Joel Blomqvist. We're going to use this next stretch of weeks, the last two games here. He'll play one game this weekend, but then really the playoffs with Wilkes. How does Joel play? Can he assert himself at that level? And then we'll have more information of how we want to go ahead with our goaltending.
I don't think Kyle wants to bring Ned back because it's going to be more expensive based on the uptick in play.
And an automatic controversy.
And not only that, but...
I think it's more the expense than anything, and they like Blomqvist.
Right, but do you want to run back Jarry and Ned? No, you don't.
No, like, I don't.
Why? Hey, congratulations, kudos to the guy. I think he feels like, you know, we used up, we got the best we could out of the guy. Let's not push our luck and tempt fate and try to get it in back-to-back years or beyond. And the young guy at least gives you some optimism that he can take over as your number one goalie and be the man here. And you don't want two guys blocking him because you're stuck with the Jari contract next year.
I still can't believe that deal. I can't.
I remember when the day we found out about the deal. We were at Ace's birthday, and we were on your back deck talking about it, and your brother-in-law loved the deal, and your actual brother, who's not like the biggest sports fan, hated it.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yes.
Just sitting there, and he
my brother-in-law,
like,
Noah, was like, this is a good deal. My brother, John, was like, this sucks, man.
He was incredulous. Now, he was like six or seven whiskeys deep at the time.
I was
going to
say, you and he were bonding over your shared love of bourbons and whiskeys and
things. It was quite lubricated, but he ended up being right. Paul Skeen's going to join us at 5 o'clock, so set your watch for that. Let's get one more from Dubas on the worst power play in Penguins history.
I felt it was better once when Bunting was in the pocket, in the bumper spot in the middle, whatever you want to call it. It allowed us to make plays into the middle and operate from there, and then he was able to make plays to both sides of the ice. Gino started to one-time the puck a little bit better, and then it started to come together too late. At the very least, it was giving us momentum and giving us looks and giving us chances. They weren't falling. All that said, I don't buy into the whole like having to look at what we're generating in terms of expectation. The power play is about execution and outcomes. We have to produce. We can't allow shorthanded goals against. We have to execute at a high level. Execution is borne by the systems, but at the same time, it's all in all of us. It's on me to have the proper personnel to hold the coaching staffs accountable. It's on the coaching staff with the players, and it's on the players themselves. So it's a collective situation that we need to get much, much better in, because it was obviously costly.
Yeah, and it's going to cost Reardon his job. He does not have a contract, from what I've heard. His contract's up. And so in what universe would they re-up it and extend it after his power play was the worst we've ever seen with our eyes?
No, he's not going to keep his job. I actually, of all the answers from Dubas, I like that one the most. It was the most direct. It cost us a lot. I don't really care how good the process looks. We need to get results. I actually did think it was better with Bunting out there.
I lied. One more. What is Dubas saying about Sullivan and Sullivan's status with the team?
Sully and I will meet continually about the staff, go through each staff member, evaluate whether they're the right fit for our group or not, and then evaluate whether, you know, we want to make any changes. But I think what I will say about the coaching staff is the amount of work that all of them respectively put in throughout the year, their efforts, their push to change and evaluate the way that we were playing, especially when it wasn't going well. They were unrelenting in their push and quest to try to bring us back. It wasn't for a lack of effort on their part at all.
Who gives a flying F? I almost said the word.
I was thinking about saying it. I just said the power play was probably the answer I thought was the most honest from him and that I liked. I heard that answer in real time and went, it's actually worse if you're saying they gave a great effort and never stopped and were unrelenting. A coach's job or coaching staff's job is to get through to the players. So they were working really hard and no one listened to them?
That's such a backhanded compliment at Sullivan. It's barely even a compliment. He works hard. All these coaches do. They're getting paid millions of dollars.
So do washing machines.
Yeah, if that's the best that the GM can say about the coach, that is not a very good endorsement whatsoever.
He should be on double. I know this isn't going to be the way it is. He should be on double secret probation. Like, if you don't have this thing looking good by Christmas, your ass is out the door, period. The team with a good record, the power play looking better, Carlson playing better, etc., all of those things.
Mr. Blutarsky, 0.0.
Double secret probation. Have you ever seen Animal House, Austin?
I've seen bits and pieces, not the full movie.
You got to sit down. You got to watch the movie from start to finish and then report back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.